Hi, everybody. My name is Momo Bertrand. I am a storyteller and digital media officer. I am originally from Cameroon, which is the country with the best seafood in the world. But now I live in northern Italy in a beautiful town called Torino. And I work as a digital media officer at the United Nations, specifically ITC ILO, which is a training center of the ILO.
Momo, thank you so much for your time. We are really excited about having you in our podcast today.
Thank you so much. The pleasure is mine.
And Momo, how are you holding up right now?
The city is slowly reopening, and we are hopeful. You know, we are hopeful that things are gonna get back to a better normal, not just a new normal. So I'm good. I'm trying. I'm trying to be good. But my family is all right, and I thank God for that.
And you know that this podcast is all about, you know, career transition for professionals like you and us. So let's jump into our podcast theme. You are originally from Cameroon. You came to study in America, and then you are now working in Italy. So Cameroon, America, Italy. That's a long road. So yeah, walk us through your journey.
Yeah, I was born in Cameroon, and I did most of my education there. And when I graduated from university in management, I went to work in consulting for a while. And then I decided to start my own company, a marketing agency. And while I was working in marketing, I always had this sort of calling and this sort of reminder, like, hey, I want to have a great social impact. I don't just want to make money. I also want to impact lives. So I saw this program at the University of San Diego in California about a social innovation master. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. It's like social innovation. It's like innovation exciting, but it's also social. Like, that's me. And so I applied. And of course, I didn't get in the first year. And I applied again the second year, and I got in with a scholarship. So I was like, okay, this is it. So I left Cameroon, and I went to the United States for the master's.
Let me hold you for a second. It's interesting. You did not get admitted for in the first attempt, and you had to apply the second year. How did you take it? I mean, weren't you discouraged when you heard that, okay, you're not getting admitted?
University of San Diego, just getting my master's,
Yeah.
It's like, thank you for applying. And you're like, okay, I know, but that's not what I was expecting. But I don't know. The thing is, when you apply, you expect, the congratulations. And then, so I get the thank you for applying. And I was like, okay, it takes 1 year for applications to be open again. So I was like, okay, for 1 year, I just kept doing what I was doing, working at my agency, and it was working pretty well. But I think there's a thing, when you have to do something, and there's this voice saying, dude, you have nothing to lose, Yeah, it's true that, okay, I had to pay I don't know how many dollars for the TOEFL and stuff, that, which is kind of a lot of money in Cameroon, but I was like, what do you have to lose, So I was like, yeah, I just applied again. And actually, when I finally got into the university, they told me that one of the reasons why I was able, to get in is the persistence too. They see I really want to get in, and it's worth it, because I feel like people feel it when you really, really, really want something and when you're determined to get it. So yeah, I applied the second time and I got in. I was so happy.
And then what happened after you got into the university in San Diego?
So I get into San Diego. It was my second time in the States, because I had come for a summer school before, but my first time living for a long time in any other country. So it's pretty, as you all know, the United States is a pretty interesting place, a lot of diversity, a lot of, new, it's a go-getter culture, which is sort of different from Cameroon. So it was an interesting, experience, just shifting my mindset to adapt to this new reality. And I got into grad school, and it was a 9-month program, extremely intensive. It's like a 2-year program that's crushed into one. So adapting to the culture, but most importantly, adapting to the new, way of teaching. It's not just cram all the knowledge and put it back in a paper like we used to do back in Cameroon. Sometimes it's like you have to think for yourself, and it was very interesting. And especially I was studying something that I really love, the Master in Social Innovation. And I was able to work on practical projects. So it was really interesting, University of San Diego, just getting my master's, you know. All this sort of like a swimming pool of knowledge, which is sort of cool, and apply it to solve, like, you know, some of the most stubborn problems in the world. And that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. And Momo, how did you apply to the job you are pursuing right now, which is the International Training Center, ILOs, which is a UN agency? So how did that happen?
So I think I've always had like a, because honestly, when you look at it, like, life is so short. And if you want to start something, just start it. Like, what do you have to lose? Like, we are here for less than a century, you know, and then you just start it. Like, what do you have to lose? So I'm always starting stuff, which is bad, because sometimes you don't just have to start things. Sometimes you have to join things that are bigger than you. But I'm always starting stuff. So I was like, okay, I looked around and I was like, oh, we don't have any marketing agencies doing digital marketing. I'm like, okay, let me just start one. So I just had my laptop, I created a logo, and I was like, I have an agency, I had no papers. But I was like, yeah, I'm gonna help people to design flyers and everything. And then I started that, you know, and then I it worked pretty well, because I was able to get contracts with Fortune 500 companies. And then I decided to, okay, I've learned enough in this. I want to go into the master's. When I got into the master's, I met an amazing person, name is Casey, and she had this passion for working with refugees. And I was like, I have a passion for the digital world, you know, like, what if we put this together? And so we co-founded One Digital World, which is a social enterprise meant to provide digital skills to underprivileged people, especially refugees. So Casey flew to Greece, and we had a first lab for One Digital World. We trained women, and it was really an amazing adventure, you know. And it was just before I joined the UN. But like you said, I think there's the Steve Jobs Stanford address, where he says you connect the dots looking backwards. Like, I just feel like now that I'm in this new role at the United Nations, like, everything connects backward. Like, my experience working, starting my agency, my co-founding nonprofits, you know, being active in school, and just being like a, you know, sort of very impulsive in a good way. Like, if I want to do something, I want to try it out, and there's nothing to lose, I just do it. Like, now I can put all this sort of buckets of knowledge into like a swimming pool of knowledge, which is sort of cool, and apply it to solve, like, you know, some of the most stubborn problems in the world, and that's really exciting. And I was working, just coming back, is when I got my master's, I went to work for a marketing agency that specialized in so first, I think the fact of being really impulsive and stubborn helped me, first of all, to get in, because many people have the myth that you can't get into a UN agency, like, you need to know somebody. I didn't even know the town of Turin, where this agency is from. Like, I didn't even know it. But I was like, okay, Momo, what do you have to lose by applying, like, to 500? Because I applied, like, over 500 times to top organizations. I wasn't looking, like, you know, like, just, okay, little things. I was applying to the UN. I was applying to Google and Facebook and Apple. Like, when I look back, it's funny, because I remember there was like a director role in Apple. And I was like, I'm just going to apply, you know, and what's the worst thing that can happen? And even this role, like, people now tell me, hey, usually you need to have like a PhD or a lot of experience to get this kind of role. But I was like, I didn't care. I was like, what do I have to lose? So every day I would wake up and, you know, get into the application, you know, like, okay, Momo, you need to apply for 5 jobs today. Okay, that's it. You know, like, what are you doing? Nothing. It's a Saturday. You have your glass of wine and you're applying for jobs and you put it out there. So I think the persistence definitely helped me to first get in. But I think getting in is just the beginning. Like, it's helping me in so many ways to navigate the job itself. Because just for context, like, every UN agency, it's a very diverse environment. So people from all around the world, and the projects you work on too are very diverse. So today you're working on a campaign on labor issues in Burkina Faso. Tomorrow you're working on lifelong training in Vietnam, and it just keeps going. And I think the fact that I had been working on in different fields, but also on issues in different countries in my past career really helps me a lot to navigate issues in this new career.
When you applied for this role, were you still in the US or were you like back in Cameroon?
Yeah, I've not been back in Cameroon since 2018. Hopefully, I'm going to be back in a few months when things reopen. But I was in the United States and I was working with a marketing agency. So just coming back is when I got my master's, I went to work for a marketing agency that specialized in serving nonprofits. So it was still a relevant, like, very relevant experience to what I'm doing now. So I had a job, but I just think about some things that people had told me, like that. I remember I was talking to this friend when I was in San Diego, and she was like, we went to have dinner. And then I was like, oh, I'm applying to these big things. And she's like, no, Momo, you'd be a really good kindergarten teacher. I'm like, I have nothing against kindergarten teachers, but I think there's sort of the fact that as a Black man, you, like, that's sort of how people, like, set standards for you. And I was like, I don't want anybody to set standards for me. Like, I work really hard and I learn a lot and I want to do stuff. Like, why should I be limited to something that, you know, some, like, kindergarten teacher? I have nothing wrong against kindergarten teacher. If people want to do that, it's a noble job, but that's not what I felt my skills, you know, would best serve in.
Going back to the application process, you applied. Obviously, it was online, I guess, right? Yeah, so you applied online. And how long after you applied did you hear the first time about your selection for the next round?
Oh, my God. I think in most UN agencies, I believe the selection process could take up to a year. Wow. So I think I even applied like just a few weeks before starting at the marketing agency, I think. And then I got like a message 6 months, maybe four, I don't remember, but it was many months after. Like, I had even forgotten. I was like, oh, what is this job again? Because I was applying to so many, like, many high profile jobs, you know. So yeah, it took a while. And then there's the first, it's like, it has, I think, four stages. So first you're notified, and then there's a written exam which you take. So you have a written exam, which is pretty interesting because I had to take it at 4, I think it was at 4 a.m. because I was in San Diego and he was in Italy. So I woke up at the night and I was taking the exam, and then my computer crashed. And then it's like everything always goes wrong. And I was like, okay, just start back. And I finished it. And then I was like, okay, Momo, you've done so bad. And then they sent me another email. I'm like, okay, face-to-face interview. It's a whole panel. First interview, okay, good, it works. And then there's another interview with, you know, competency-based, basically to assess your soft skills. And then I go through that one. And then there's a final interview with the whole panel again. And then at that stage, honestly, I was like, okay, Momo, if you've come this far, like, don't screw up. Don't freaking screw up. Like, I had like a whole book where I'd written all the possible questions that I could be asked. And on the bus in San Diego, I'll just be reading. It was like a novel to me. I was just reading the questions like, okay, what is your strongest skill? And then I'm like talking in the bus. People think I'm crazy, but I'm like, no, I know. I know what I'm doing, you know. And it worked. You know, I just got the email like, hey, I got a call. Like, I was in an Uber going to work and something. I was like, hey, Momo, congratulations. You've been selected. Oh, my God. I was like, that comes to your mind. Like, you're human. You're not like, or like, I don't know, Black Mirror genius.
Okay, now we're 2, 3, go. And Momo, is there anything you want to share with immigrants and people of color who wants to pursue the career you are pursuing right now?
Okay, I can't tell the exact questions that
okay.
I asked
okay,
because
okay.
It's like it's I think it's relatively private. But I think I can comment generally on interviews.
Okay.
I think it's Google is really so right about, like, when you Google, like, what questions are you asked, like, 50% are just on Google, you know. I think there's no, like, secret. I wasn't asked, like, I don't know how, like, how tall is the Empire State Building, or, like, you know, this kind of how fast will a coin fall if it's dropped in water or ammonium, or I don't know. There's no, like, magic question. And I feel like if you rehearse for the things that Google says, like, you're pretty much ready. And I think one thing that I did, I think I rehearsed for almost every possible question, maybe, I don't know, 5-10 times, like, as many times as possible. And I feel like rather than maybe fixating on the specific questions, having a broad range of questions, you know, from tell me about yourself to what project, like every possible question, rehearsing on a wide range of questions sort of gives more confidence, even for questions that you don't rehearse. That's what I would say.
Fit in, like it's a trying to, you know, squeeze in, but I think know that.
Definitely, of course. There's like, okay, maybe I can talk about this. So there's like, what do you think about agile project management?
What is that? We don't know.
Yeah, and I didn't like, I know what it means, but it's like I've not studied that specific thing, you know. And then I just chose like the word agile and said, okay, I'm just gonna talk about how agile I am and how flexible I am, and I had a story that backs my flexibility, and then I just put it out there. But the thing is also, I don't know, I feel like I don't think there's maybe a few people, but I think most interviewees have a question where they're not perfect. You can't have like someone who's gonna answer everything. And I think that's the myth, you know, like it's okay if 80% you're awesome and then 20% like you just say, you know, stuff that comes to your mind. Like you're human, you're not like, I don't know, freaking Siri or like, I don't know, Black Mirror Janus.
Mm-hmm. Like that. I'm talking to you and keep inspiring with your inspiring thoughts. Thank you so much for your time once again.
Thank you, and thank you so much. One thing that I've noticed about people of color is sometimes we want to apologize for our color. So like your accent, the way you talk, you try hard, it's still the faking it. You try to fake another accent which is not yours, you know. You try to like, okay, to maybe change the color of your skin, you know, like when you get to that kind of level where you're trying to fake what God gave you, even if you don't believe in God, what the universe, how the universe made you, that's you start losing yourself, you know. I think there's beauty in every color, there's beauty in every accent, there's beauty in every type of culture. Like if you like music from your part of the world, like it. Everybody should not like, you know, the same music. I don't want to cite that music, but we all know that music that everybody expects us to like. But love your music, love your color, love your accent, and don't be apologetic for how like the universe made you, because you're beautiful, you're excellent, like you're okay, you know. Don't I think there's a difference between trying to, you know, fit in and trying to contribute. I think so many of us are trying to, you know, fit in, like it's a locked place and you're like trying to, you know, squeeze in. But I think know that what you're coming, your culture, your background is not like necessarily to fit in, but you're adding stuff to an organization. And when you come from that place like of value, I am not a deficit, but I am adding value, it shows up in the way you speak and the way you come across to people. Yeah. So don't be apologetic about your color, your accent, or your culture. Every accent, like it's like a rainbow, you know, like it's different shades and it's beautiful that way. So yeah, and I think like especially the recent movement and how people are standing up against, you know, racism, it's not a thing of, you know, blacks against whites or blacks and browns against white. It's really a thing of everybody against racist, everybody against bigotry, everybody against, you know, hatred. And if we see it that way, you know, and it gets, we get closer to, you know, a more beautiful picture.
Thank you so much, Momo. It was so much fun and wonderful talking to you, and keep inspiring with your inspiring thoughts. Thank you so much for your time once again.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure talking to you, and it's yeah, I'm really happy to, you know. And I don't just want to make money. I also want to like impact lives. So I saw this.
Yeah, and on that note, it's time to say bye-bye from today's episode of the podcast at the end of the day. If you are new listener or viewer of the podcast, please subscribe and share about our podcast. You can find us on YouTube and you can find us on all the podcast apps. And if you would like to take a quick look at the archive or at the old episodes of the podcast.
It's like a 2-year project that's crashed into one. So,
yes, take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Ian Hull from the U.S. Census Bureau. Beginning on March 12th, everyone in the country will be invited to respond to the 2020 census. You'll have the ability to respond to the census over the phone, online, or using a paper form. It is incredibly important that everyone is counted. make sure you, your family members, and your neighbors are counted in this critical census. We only get one chance every 10 years to conduct the census. This is your chance to be counted.